Hello there, podcast listeners. Back to our full complement.
Grant's back.
Great to be back. A little bit worried that, like, remember we used to go on, like, away as a kid and then you'd come back and then your best friend all of a sudden had found a new best friend and you were now on the outer circle?
You are. You're on the outs. You're on the seventh circle of hell.
I thought
you got to make your way back in now.
I watched you guys bonding while I was away on Instagram and I was getting very jelly.
You should.
You should watch out.
You've got a good rapport going now.
You made Ed move. Yeah, look at him. He looks delicious now. He's got that beautiful haircut with that wonderful fade on the side and good fringe length.
I'm enjoying the haircuts. It's sort of, it's almost...
Grand Denyer-esque.
I was going to say,
and mine. Actually, the three of us are morphic.
This is what happens.
Your periods sink and you become each other.
I'm going to have like a bright... what's that?
You didn't even mention my one shoulder.
Can I be honest with you?
What? Didn't you notice it?
Until you turned your shoulder.
Yeah.
And now I do like that.
Isn't that amazing?
Is it a bird?
I'm wearing a...
It's very bright.
I'm wearing a cardigan that's got bling just on one shoulder, like it's over the top shoulder pad.
Yeah, it's good. Lots in the podcast today. We had the dominatrix.
I thought about that for a long time afterwards. Mistress Diphtheria?
No, that's a disease.
Mistress Diphtheria.
You wouldn't want to pay for that extra service.
That's a different kind of kinky.
Can you imagine?
Enjoying my diphtheria.
So sorry with my words aren't good today.
Chicken fries, please.
There he is. You hit your head on a...
I did hit my head.
That was hard. I heard that.
I got radio concussion, guys.
Hey, Benny, can you grab that for tomorrow?
Can we?
We'll hit you in the head because that was...
Kieran's already made the super slow-mo video of it. It'll be going up on social
today. You down onto the ground and then you required a champagne glass full of ice, which you held to your eye to try and keep the swelling down.
Yeah, it was quite glamorous.
It is glamorous. Not surprisingly, Kim, our executive producer, had a champagne glass in her pocket for some reason.
Friday night earlier.
Kim, say hello.
Hi.
On mic.
Say, be on mic.
Listen to that voice, ready?
On mic. No, your mic's on.
Your mic's on.
Hi.
Oh, why's your voice husky? What time are you at till? Just run down. Partying for 24 hours on Friday.
Gimme.
Mum's gone wild.
Mother's 3-year-old.
Oh, my God. Enjoy the podcast, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with Em, Grant and Ed.
6:02. Back to our full complement. Good morning, Em.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Grant.
Good morning, team. I missed you guys. I missed you so much.
I did.
I really did. Like, I was coming back on the plane from America. I don't know if I need to drop that in straight away, but I've been to America. And coming back on the plane, I was like, you know what? You know who I've missed in my life for the last 10 days? You two delicious humans.
I can't believe that. But that's true.
I'm excited.
What time is it where you are in your body right now?
I don't know what country I'm in, let alone what day it is.
It is weird. I did see you sitting at some sort of racetrack on Saturday afternoon at 4:00. And I was like, how is he going to be okay to be on air in a day and a half?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. I did a bit of Vegas work, a little bit of backcountry of Wyoming, just two dudes. If you exchanged the horses, right, in Brokeback Mountain and turned them to motorbikes, that's
okay,
the kind of
experience.
Okay, have
you seen Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah, it's just about like two blokes having a good time, isn't it?
Okay, because you kept referencing Brokeback Online, and then I said to my husband, I don't think Grant's seen Brokeback, because he keeps up, there's anything wrong with that, but he's a wife and kids.
Yeah. I do remember the punchline. The punchline from that movie was...
Punchline.
Oh, well, not punchline. Okay, the most famous line that I think I remember was, I can't quit you.
Yes.
And that's what me and my mate said to one another as we departed at the airport as we landed in Sydney.
I think you're missing the crucial part of Breakback, but that's okay. Great. Good to have you back, doll.
And
it's good to be back.
Grant Brokeback Denny.
This would be a new, like, buddy film.
I really do feel like
cowboy
your reference
film.
Point is off. Yeah. What about, what was the one
city
with Billy?
Slickers.
Yeah, City Slickers.
It's more City Slickers
you
than Brokeback.
You think so? Okay.
I reckon.
We were
Unless
remote,
you were making love
cold.
In a tent.
Is that what
go.
They did in that movie? I must have walked out for some popcorn in that bit.
Okay. Right, we have a big show. We have so much stuff to give away.
Don't we? What about... Pink tickets.
Yes.
You're listening out for Pink or someone to tell you to call. And then there's a horse. I never know what this is called. I think it's the call to something or another. That horse noise.
Good job.
The trumpet. Yeah. When you hear that in the middle of something, you give us a shout. You get to go to the races. $1,000.
We've got two calls to wins today. It's very confusing. And some would say poor planning, Jace Allen. But anyway, let's move on with it.
The point is that someone gets Pink tickets and someone gets to go to the
Hooray!
Races. And also today, entertainment, huge, lot of stuff going on over the weekend. Apparently,
yes.
Apparently a new Bachelor, etc.
Honey someone.
Yeah, the honey guy.
The honey badger.
The honey badger. He's a funny man.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't get him started.
Ed's I love his undies ads.
Nah, Ed's in a mood this morning.
Oh,
I don't think he did enough over the weekend.
Oh, okay. So you don't like the larrikin.
Ed's a bit itchy this morning. I can tell straight away. He's tapping his finger.
It's not great when you come back to work day one and you put your friends off like in the first three minutes.
No, I'm sorry, mate. We're good. The badger is—he just does this thing where you give him an old one-liner, and he regurgitates it, and then people fall about like, "Oh my god, the guy's a comedian!"
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Let's get into it. This will make me happy. What's the superior coming up next?
I think it's going to make you even more upset because you can't eat it.
No, this is going to be great.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
Today. We were struggling, to be honest, to think of something.
We took it to the wire. It was 5:59 when we came up with this.
What's the superior hand?
I love honest, Ed.
I agree.
You're never honest.
Oh, don't do that.
No, but you're very slick. I feel like I'm breaking you down.
No, you don't.
I remember listening to you on radio thinking, that guy's slick.
I am slick.
Yeah, but...
He's very professional.
Yeah, but I just... Maybe my messiness is getting in. You just admitted to being unprepared.
I think he likes walking on the edge secretly.
I'm so proud of
Well, when you do as much, you know, late night shirtless work in nightclubs off your face as I do and then come to work in a buttoned up polo, then you have to have two modes.
I'm so confused.
Two modes.
But I'm here for it.
What's the superior hamburger?
Yes.
Yes.
In honor of you.
Thank you.
Because you love a hamburger.
Oh.
But you're not allowed to eat them.
You know, I started when I was in Brisbane for a while. I started the Brisbane Burger Club.
Tell me.
And we tried to make it hashtag BBC.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Someone's already got that.
Someone's got that.
Damn it.
And it is not what you, and it is pretty full on.
British Broadcasting Company.
No, big, second, last word C, and then in the middle, a descriptor.
Yeah, I think I know what you're trying to say.
A colour.
Something.
Oh.
C.
Oh, shade, actually.
Sorry, more of a...
Black.
That's the, yep. So now we've got two words.
Big black. Have you got the noise?
Don't.
What word? Oh, no, it's still around.
So what did you go with?
Thank you. Knew someone would have
So if you press on that hashtag, you got a big black.
Yeah, Angus. Yeah.
Wow.
His name might have been Angus, I don't know.
I don't want that. What is this burger hamburger? I'm going to go to you first because you,
thank you,
are the connoisseur.
Now, a lot has changed in burgers.
Oh, God, he's had to have a breath.
I've
had to
swallow the gulp.
I'm take a run up.
Okay. We're in the middle of our burger sance. It is the burger renaissance that has swept the nation.
Burger sance.
And it's never been a better time to love yourself a burger. I went to the Burger Project the other day right near work. There's in World Square.
Oh, yeah, is that Ponytail?
Ponytail guy.
Yeah.
And I have to say that the flavour of the meat was great because it wasn't too cooked and the sauce was very nice. It was a good burger, but he's done that thing where he's gone smaller is better.
Oh, I love a slider.
No, not a slider, a smaller burger. He's incorrect. Oh. Burgers are about girth and about... height.
He's indicating 30 centimetres with his big awkward hands.
So, yep.
You're talking double hander. You need double hander on your hamburger.
Yep. Double-handed hamburging.
Yep. Stop setting me up to say reach around because I'm not saying that. Okay, go. I'm tired, guys.
And then?
We know what happens when Em gets tired.
And what do you believe there's a superior hamburger? How do you have the superior hamburger?
I don't know. Is this a trick question?
No, it's a serious question. How would you have a hamburger?
I just have a really toasted bun with melted cheese on it and a patty and some tomato and some beetroots and aioli and some lettuce. That's it.
That's interesting. Grant?
Yeah. Well, having just come back from America, in and out burger. As soon as that plane touched down and the door opened, I go, straight me to... In-N-Out Burger. And I like it because you get there and it's only got like a limited couple of options. They only do burgers three ways. So you don't have to really put a great deal of thought
into it.
What's
so good about In-N-Out Burger? Why is everyone
low?
Everyone's in Sydney.
High fat content in the patty.
Yeah.
So it's really, really juicy. And it's that kind of burger when you lean into it that it sort of runs down your arm and drips off your elbow.
Yeah.
As you're mowing into it.
That's fair. Okay. 13, 10, 60.
What's yours? Are you holding off?
No, enormous. Oh, double patty, everything in it, okay. Everything under the sun.
Yeah. Fully loaded.
No beetroot.
The rule in my house is you don't beat things bigger. Pineapple? Things bigger than your head.
Nah, it's incorrect.
Okay.
No beetroot, no pineapple. Burgers are an American invention, and no, you can't bastardize it with your Australianisms. So
people are getting angry with you. 13, 10, 60.
You got to have onion on there, though. Yeah, Ed? Onion,
definitely. Yeah, 13, 10, 60. What is the superior burger? It can be a place. It can be an ingredient.
Anything. It could be a tiny little back alley burger joint in Sydney that no one knows about.
I need a new place.
Okay, let's do it.
And we're playing for tickets to M Show.
Oh, no,
it's completely sold out. The Evil Queen tour. Completely sold out.
It is. I can't even get tickets for my mates.
13, 10, 60. And if you don't win that, you might get the Guzmany Gomez free burrito vouchers, which I've got. What's the superior hamburger? What goes into it? I'm definitely in the market for a new place to go, so let us know. Where is it? 13, 10, 60. We're playing What's the Superior at the moment.
Win tickets to see the poor man's pink. I'm not going to say my joke from the show.
I love your joke in the show.
I know. I'm not going to ruin my own jokes on air.
I wouldn't.
I'm not going to.
Don't you give them away.
I will not.
What is the superior hamburger?
Oh, yes.
Philip from Greendale. Take it away, buddy.
Yeah, mate. It's the heart attack burger.
Oh, Jesus. What's in that, Phil?
Promising a lot.
Double meat patties, double bacon, double cheese, and tomato sauce.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you don't want any green stuff getting in the way.
Nah.
Hey, Phil, where do I get it?
Used to be at Menengle's store.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You said used to be. What happened?
Oh, I'm not sure if they're still out there. I haven't been out there in a couple of years.
And that's old school because it's local too. That is what I'm into, Phil.
Mm,
well played.
I like that.
Aussie from Wakeley.
Yeah.
Superior Burger is?
Superior Burger in Wakeley.
Is that what it's called?
Well, no, it's actually called a Superior Burger, but they're in Wakeley.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, wow. No way.
They win just because they've got the right title.
What's on it? What makes it superior?
It's their special sauce. They've got the mustard, the pickles, the beef patty, the lettuce, and the mayo.
Yes. Now, let me ask you, they ask you to add your own mustard or is it pre-put in the burger?
No, it's already pre-put in the burger.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
You like to do your own thing, Ed?
I like to keep it in one hand, and as I'm eating bites, new mustard goes on top of the other I'm eating my burger from.
So not exactly into the burger, but just onto where you're about to place your mouth for the next bite.
Yeah.
You load up that zone.
Yeah. You're having a burger for dinner tonight, aren't you? You are. Hello, Delise.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, honey. What's the superior burger?
The Chicanie at Milky Lane. It's got maple smoked bacon. What? Like, that is just the best. Stop. And it's got more on it, but maple smoked bacon, just amazing.
Where's it, Milky Lane?
In Bondi, yep.
Oh, in Bondi.
Chicanie. Ah. I was just like the title.
Chicanie.
Yes.
It's crispy really fried chicken, maple smoked bacon, pineapple relish, cheddar, homemade pickles, barbecue sauce, and aioli.
Okay, I've just brought up our internet guys just brought up a picture of it, Kieran. We're going to repost that now.
Jeez.
I am in.
That's a multi-stage seating though. Eating.
Is that a chicken burger though? Is that different to a hamburger?
Ah, it's okay. We'll take it. It's a burger.
Okay.
We did say, I mean, you're being pedantic.
No, that's right. But I'm just wondering whether it's a different thing. I was like a burger expert.
Olivia from Camden, the superior burger is. Hi.
Hi. So there's a burger called the Piggy Azalea. It is a chicken burger from Orangeville Meat Co. at Camden, but it is amazing.
What's it?
They do like a crispy chicken patty with bacon and an aioli sauce, and they get like this popcorn stuff that they put on top.
Popcorn on top?
Yeah, it's like a savoury popcorn, but it's pretty good. It's my favourite burger anyway.
That sounds amazing. And we could also do What's the Superior Food Pun as well, food pun title. I love that. Piggy Azalea.
It's pretty good.
Chicanie.
And then all the Thai restaurants will start.
And the hairdressers.
Typhoon, Typhoon 2.
Oh, it's not really food. Who are we going to give it to?
Who do you like?
Talise.
Talise. Chicanie's won today.
Yeah. Yeah, you're coming to my show whether you like it or not. It's sold out. You can sell the tickets.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you there. Thanks for feigning enthusiasm.
No, she's pumped up. That's nice. Everybody else is going to get themselves tickets Actually, you know what? Guzmini Gomez free burrito vouchers.
Nice. Get more of Today FM breakfast with M, Grant and Ed. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.
Grant Denyer, you've been away for 10 days. You have returned.
Just had one of the best holiday experiences of my life. It was extraordinary. First, we did a bit of a, sort of like an Aussie male thing you do. You go to Vegas, we catch a little bit of NASCAR. You would have been on board with that. saw the rugby sevens. Never done that before. Saw Australia play. America won, which is pretty disappointing.
America beat Australia in rugby.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was unusual as well.
Okay.
Okay.
They smashed everybody, like even Fiji and New Zealand.
They beat New Zealand?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. Are you sure you were watching rugby? What were you doing? You know what rugby is?
It may have been my first game, okay. But I got to see a few of them. So it was fun. Yeah. And then I went to...
Where'd you stay in Vegas?
At Planet Hollywood, which was sort of right there in the main...
Oh, I know where it is.
Yeah, it's right there in the main bit there.
What's the best piece of...
opposite the Bellagio fountains.
What's the best piece of memorabilia there? You're going to need your sting for old man eggs. I'm about to bore the hell out of everybody.
Are you taking away from Grant's holiday debrief?
I'm improving it so far. But what was the best piece of memorabilia that they've got in that Planet Hollywood?
The giant Slurpee alcohol drink holders, the big plastic ones that are like a big giant yard glass. That's probably my favourite thing.
I love that.
I had watermelon.
Movies, that's
watermelon. You got a story about that, mate?
No, I'm sorry about Planet Hollywood, which I'll save.
What is it?
Come on. Planet Hollywood opened on George Street, which is now the Star Bar. I was there with 10,000 other people, and when Stallone got on stage, we all chanted Rocky. 2 weeks later, it was impossible to get in, but somehow my mum knew someone, and I had my 19th birthday at Planet Hollywood on George Street.
Is that right? Your 19th birthday.
Ed has a boring story for everything. A boring story for everything.
Oh, happy 19th birthday, Ed.
I saw a lot of you on snow motorbikes. What was that?
Yeah, that's like a brand new sort of a adventure sport that it's just been invented. So instead of like riding snowmobiles, like in the outback of Wyoming, you have like a motorbike with it like a track on the back instead. So you get to carve up these mountains in these beautiful, pristine wilderness areas full of, 4 meters of snow.
That's cool.
In these
big
remote
Bogan V8 motors.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Pristine.
And we rocked up and there were just like two Aussies and they're supposed to give you a guide because it's pretty dangerous. There's like avalanche central out that way because you're at 6,000 to 8,000 feet. So you're a long way up, but it's really difficult to breathe. So they send us out on this bike. We rock up. They go, there you go, boys. Off you go. There's your avalanche beacon. Just put that on your body so we can find you when the mountains collapsed on you. And they sent us off with no instruction. We had no clue, no idea where we're going, how to use them or what. So,
if I'm someone who likes motorbikes,
yeah,
this is a chance for me to basically motorcycle across snow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you float across the top in fresh powder.
People would love
just,
that.
Just carving up like a graceful swan.
I actually hate humans.
You hate humans?
How can we take skiing and make it more Bogan? I know.
Add a motor.
Let's add a motor and a bike.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Well, hold it there because there's going to be others. There's going to be other things.
So beautiful.
Other things we need to talk about. I want to hear more about
like Australians who travel. I don't like Australians that travel. We think we're cool when we travel. When you see another Aussie overseas... We're not cool. We're not nice.
The drunk one in the Bintang thing.
Oh, man. Like, we think Americans are bad when they come to our country. You watch Australians and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, they're always the bogan going past on a motorcycle as you try and have a nice day in the snow.
Eat my snow, man.
Now, Em, I saw some photographs over the weekend of the Ed Sheeran's currently in Victoria and then his shows... come to town this week.
Yes.
The sold out shows. We have been giving tickets away at ANZ Stadium.
Yes.
But you share something with Ed Sheeran is that you have the same touring
manager.
Company.
Yeah, with the same Frontier Touring Tourist Base. I mean, exactly the same size tour size. Same size arenas, same size crowds.
Yes.
I was lucky enough. Frontier had me as a guest over the weekend in Melbourne and I went along to Eddie Had on Saturday night and it was 47 degrees inside the venue.
Are you serious?
Because they wouldn't open the roof. It was
for real?
Really strange. I mean, okay, before we get to that, the concert was great. I don't even know where to start with this concert because he doesn't have a band. This was
so strange.
So
that's a lot of space to be the only person on stage.
But also financially brilliant. I'm currently touring. I'm touring a 10-piece at the moment, and it is breaking me. Sheeran's just got a looper, two mics, and a guitar tech. Because he plays the guitar so hard, after every song he's got to hand it over and get another one. Because mm-hmm. he breaks strings, because he's playing percussion.
Puts it out
on
of
it.
Tune. Yeah,
yeah, so okay. he's got this one guy who just walks off and on, off and on. And all the hardcore Sheeran fans know him. He's all over Ed's Instagram. But I was so amazed that this whole concert to 65,000 people was just one bloke on stage with a lot of emojis playing on a screen behind him. He had all these tattoos animated,
okay.
which was kind of cool.
That's smart, yeah.
Yeah, yep. But he opened with this. And it was really cool. So it was really anthemic, actually.
That'll get the crowd going.
And what I loved was he was bang on time, Sheeran, because he knows his crowd. Madonna made us wait 4 hours. Sheeran was 4 minutes early. and it just shows him. They hand him his guitar and the wrist starts going, and he's smiling, and then he just starts playing as soon as he hits the stage, and everyone's up, and it's great. But it was 36 degrees down in Melbourne on Saturday, and then the roof was shut all day, and there were 65,000 people in a confined space with no air conditioning, and I saw three people go down faint.
Really?
Sure? Yeah, because I was sitting right near the pit, like the big dance floor, and people were all mushed in, and I saw St. John's were in and out, and it's really weird, and we were just, everyone's like chanting, open the roof, because we didn't get why. But apparently, I think because of the light show, he's got quite an extensive light situation.
Okay.
And the noise.
Oh, but for like neighbouring suburbs?
But, I don't know, because Eddie had come out and said, oh, look, we care about the public, but this was at the request of the touring company.
Your people. It's your people.
They've totally handballed it.
Hey, can I play you a little bit? This is him doing Perfect from, I think, one of the Melbourne shows.
Yes. To be fair, everyone knew every word. Ed didn't have to sing much.
It does seem like a real sing-along. Real sing-along?
It was such a sing-along. Real and it sing-along. Was great. There was a lot of dads there with daughters doing the right thing.
Cute.
It was
that's
really,
cute.
It was good. I mean, it's a certain crowd.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Who'd you go?
Were my two daughters and my husband.
And did your husband have a great time?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. What did you tell me off air?
He wanted to leave after the first song because it was so hot.
First song?
Scott's M, I can't. He's waving his program in his face. He's like, M, nothing is worth it. And Odette, my youngest, is like, no, Dad, no, we're not leaving. She's got sweat pouring down her face. She's stripped down to her undies. And like, Scott's waving his thing. We're going. It was hectic.
M, you've got some good news.
3 years ago, Katy Perry put in an offer to purchase a former convent in LA that she wanted to convert to a home studio. Same guys.
Yeah, we've all done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, she approached Archbishop Jose Gomez and offered him $14.5 million. Yeah.
Jeez, so we're talking a big parcel of land here.
And knowing the Catholic Church, right on a hill in the best part of town.
I've actually seen a little bit of. Have you seen the views?
Yeah.
There's a pool.
Yeah.
I don't know. For pool parties, I assume.
The nuns love a pool party.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But so he's gone, yeah, sure, Katy Perry, you can buy the land.
Right.
And then two nuns came forward, Sister Rita Callanan and Sister Catherine Rose Holtzman, who lived in the convent for 20 years and said, no, Archbishop, we own that land. We have documents somewhere. We can't find them, but we've got them.
Oh, we promise.
And we're going to sell them to developer Dana Holitzer.
Oh.
So there's two. Katy Perry now takes on this developer, Dana Holitzer, who the nuns want to sell it to, and the Archbishop wants to sell it to Katy Perry.
Right.
3 years long, this legal battle goes for.
Yep.
The Archbishop brings Katy Perry to meet the two nuns. Katy Perry dresses conservatively. She sings, oh, happy day to them.
She sang for them.
Yep. And the nun said, and she also showed them her Jesus tattoo.
Oh,
that'll do it.
That would have got him over the line for sure.
the nun said, thank you very much, that's very nice, but we don't want to sell it to you because of your revealing outfits on stage.
Oh, they wouldn't have liked her track either. I Kissed a Girl. Was that her first hit? Yeah, that wouldn't have been their cup of tea.
Did they enjoy the paddleboarding photos with Orlando?
Definitely were fans of that. So anyway, over the... Excellent. I'm not even going to go into all the jokes I have in my mind about his third Legolas.
Come on.
They went to court just late last week, 3 years long. This is the final.
This was it. This was Archbishop in one corner.
Yeah, the nuns in the other. Katy Perry, all they're there.
Here we go.
And there's reporters everywhere, right?
Developer.
Yeah, everyone's going. And Sister Catherine Rose Holtzman went on telly just before the court case and said, we're trying to save this property. And to Katy Perry, please stop. It's not doing anyone any good except hurting a lot of people. And then Sister Catherine Rose Holtzman went into court and died.
She died in court.
In the middle of the courtroom.
Dead during proceedings.
Oh, man.
So you can imagine.
Divine intervention.
The headlines. Katy Perry kills Nutton straight away. Floating around. But she's begged Katy Perry live on telly to please leave her alone and then dies?
Gee, that's bad career karma for Katy Perry, isn't
but
it?
But not only that, I respect the drama.
Yeah.
What a way to go out. She's 89. She's dedicated her life to Christ. Mm. She's had a good run.
Mm-hmm.
And her final salute to all of that. I just feel like she does have God on side because, my God, if I could go out in that fashion, the showgirl in me says, bravo, Sister Catherine Rose Holtzman.
Anyone can faint.
I love the song I Kissed a Girl, but I'm really looking forward to a follow-up smash hit, I Killed a Nun and I Liked It.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M. Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
Guys, we started doing something. We record them after the show because they're quite juicy. The Ask Me Anything and all sorts of different people that we're going to be speaking to that perhaps are misunderstood, that people would perhaps have assumptions about in the community.
It's a way to kind of respectfully find out more about topics that are a little bit taboo.
That's right. Mm. And we start today. Now, I should say, yes, this next segment is not for little ears, so perhaps...
Oh, like if you've got a six-month-old, go for your life.
Yeah, but there's probably a...
Someone who can ask you questions doesn't need to hear this.
Great. There you go. Ironically, for asking anything. We're about to hear from a dominatrix called Mistress Imperia.
What a name. Do you think that's her birth name? I hope so. I hope she came out and her mum said, oh, she's so cute. We're going to call her Mistress Imperia.
Sort of set her on a path,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Pretty much.
And so... You're going to hear from Mistress about all manner of what her life is like conducting her sessions all around town.
Yeah, and she's extraordinary. She's got such a presence about her when she walks in the room. I found this very interesting.
Take it away, Mistress Imperia.
Today, we have Dominatrix Mistress Imperia in studio. Hello, Mistress Imperia.
Hello.
Hi.
Nice
fabulous.
To be here.
I just want to describe the outfit first off the bat. Amazing blonde hair with rainbow colours in it. And you've got some silver chains, quite heavy work. And you've got beautiful,
it's latex.
Latex. Yeah. Like a tuxedo jacket, I want to call it.
Kind of like a suit.
Yeah, and then a latex skirt. Yeah. You look, black, long nails. Can I ask you, what is a dominatrix? Like, so if you were to be, you're at a dinner table and someone says to you, what's your job? What's your dinner table response to that?
Okay, so I would say a dominatrix is basically a sexually dominant woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that can, you know, cover such a broad range of things, mm-hmm. from fetish, fantasy, bondage, discipline, torture, medical, adult babies. Yeah, so it's just...
Oh, my God, I want to unpack everything you just said there.
No, there's nothing in there that doesn't...
My ears pricked up when you said torture. That sounds like fairly extreme. What does that mean?
So torture can... So everything I do basically can be all both ends of the spectrum, from incredibly light and erotic, mm-hmm. through to really hardcore pain.
What's the most hardcore pain you've inflicted?
So... Basically, it's generally through...
say it.
It can be electro-torture, piercing, nailing, skewering testicles.
You'll push something through...
People ask for that?
Yes.
People pay for that?
Yeah. Wow. People get off on that.
People get off on that.
Having your scrotum pierced.
Your testicles, yeah. Wow. Right through.
So, shish kebabbed.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I find it erotic, actually.
You like it too?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So who goes to a dominatrix? What are they looking for?
Mm. So basically, I suppose because I'm a pro dom, so I,
oh, what
it's
does
my,
that mean?
It's my work.
Okay, professional.
Yeah, professional dominatrix.
Pro dom, yeah.
So people come to me to satisfy their urges, their kink urges. So
and not get judged.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And also see someone who's been trained and experienced, because you can really hurt people with some of the things, say, you know, with suspension bondage and a lot of the heavy play, you can really damage people, and you need to know what you're doing so that you don't hurt them.
Mistress Imperial, what is, when you say training, what is that training?
Okay,
you know, how do you get that training?
Yeah, so many years ago, probably over 15 years ago, I did an apprenticeship with an establishment which was called Salon Kitties. And
apprenticeship?
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm, what does that entail?
So basically, Salon Kitties was a multiple mistress house.
Yeah.
And you go in there and you class as an apprentice for a couple of years. The senior mistresses would take you under their wing. They would teach you everything, train you. And Mistress Amanda Dwyer ran that. She was an amazing woman. And she would sort of put you through your paces. So you were doing everything properly. And
yeah.
That's how I learned.
Wow.
Apprenticeship. That's how
it's relatable. I know. You'd never relatable. Even think I'm going to be a chippy, a carpenter, a dominatrix. I didn't know. If I'd have known that was available at high school, I think I may have even had a go at that.
Yeah.
So you've got your own fully equipped dungeon.
Yes.
What's in a dungeon?
Okay, yeah. So if you look at dungeons all over the world, they're really quite similar. I mean, some might.
Is that what they're called in the biz? My dungeon?
My dungeon,
Okay, yeah.
Do they have to be downstairs? I know that's a stupid question. But
they don't have to be. They can be anywhere.
But it's just dungeon.
It's a dungeon. Yeah. So basically, you need sort of a table to strap someone down generally.
Of course.
Something for anal play, which is usually like I've got a medical chair and a sling.
A sling.
Yeah, a few different options to string people up or down. Suspension gear so that you can sort of suspend people safely, you know, safely.
Sort of ropes? Like ropes or like a harness kind of thing?
Yeah.
How much is your dungeon worth? What have you spent? Legit.
Wow. Probably, I think I'd put about $100,000 into
it. Wow.
That's a lot of toys.
It's a lot of toys.
Do you get asked questions that are quite offensive? Have you, is there, because the reason we're doing this is to kind of help people understand things that they might be a bit ignorant towards and judging.
Yeah.
Like, what's kind of the worst thing you've been asked?
Okay. So I think probably the worst thing is, do you hate men?
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And I don't. You know, I love them.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, a lot of my clients, a lot of them I've been seeing for 15 years, and I'm really quite fond of them. So
is it possible that you get as much out of it as they do?
Absolutely.
You like it.
Yeah. That's why I think I've maintained my career for so long is that I just love it, and everyone is so different.
Yes.
You know?
Is there anything you've ever been asked to do that you've said, soz, that's a bit far?
Yeah. So a few castration follows.
Wow, really? Mm. They want you just to lop them off?
Yeah. So basically, they would want me to sort of go in, remove the testicles. Someone wanted a bloodless castration, which you use a bedizzo, which is something they used to castrate cattle with.
That's like a hot knife sort of deal, isn't it? So it seals the blood to stop it from running, is it?
No, it's like a big clamp. They clamp it and it crushes the tubes. And I've got someone who's actually a doctor, and I spoke to him about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is just not worth it.
No, it's not. You know? It doesn't matter. How much would that cost?
Oh, gosh.
What would you charge someone to do that?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you that.
Well, what is a session with you? How much do you cost?
Basically, so it depends on what you're doing. So heavier things are going to be, you know, up around, say, 330 to 400 an hour.
Yeah.
That's yep. for quite heavy things, but not so much for lighter play.
Okay. Well, speaking of lighter play, Mistress Imperia, you've bought in a leather fringy whippy thing, which I'm riding to. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
We thought maybe you could demonstrate on TV's Grand Denya.
Oh, I would love to.
Yeah. This would be great.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. All right. Do you need his top off for this or what happens? Like, what do you
think? Well, hey, don't you suggest. You tell us what you need.
All right.
You stay in back.
Yeah, get up.
Amelia.
Yeah, I'll, Mistress okay. Imperia is you go. Popping
she's
off.
Standing up.
Hang
she's
on, before we go any further, when it goes too far, like
safe word.
Do you do safe words?
Yes, safe words. So usually I use mercy as a safe word.
Uh-huh.
But
what if I'm gagged and you can't hear me say mercy?
So usually I'll have people who are gagged would go mm-mm. And that would be it. But I'm pretty good at reading people. And I would know
you would know.
You're getting to a point so they don't,
yep.
unless I want them to mercy, but yeah.
Okay, right,
this is amazing.
Okay.
All right, what's that one?
Oh, this is a paddle.
Use that too.
Yeah, so you know, usually we'd have these on the buttocks, but you can flog on the back if you're more comfortable, if you don't want to bare your butt to the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to bare your butt to the world, little baby?
Why don't you bare your back?
Yeah, just take your top off.
I can...
Tops off, Denya!
Tops off.
This would be sexual harassment if you were yelling that at me.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Grant Denya is currently unbuttoning his sensible cotton
shirt.
He's taking off his little boy Bonds t-shirt and his bare back is exposed. Jeez. Denya's covering his nipples, which are erect, I can confirm. Grant Denya has assumed the position. What do we call this position, Mistress Imperia?
This is probably just a standing position.
Standing.
This is a first for me.
Okay. Mistress Imperia, so what are you going to do now? Flog also. Grant.
I'm going to give him a little back flogging.
Little back flogging. Yeah, I love this little back little back flogging doll.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
All right. So I'm just going to start light.
Oh, now she's just doing a spinning motion and it's flicking Grant's back as you can hear.
What do you think about that?
It's sort of... It gets things tingling.
This is not something I ever thought I'd see, Grant Denya, in this situation.
So you can see it can be kind of sensual and erotic. And
It is sensual and erotic.
That's manageable.
Yeah. Okay, go a bit harder, that, Mistress Imperia.
Grant Denya's safe word is survey says, so if you hear that.
Mistress Imperia, just ramp it up a bit. Okay, just really, he's a race car driver, so he's used to being in a bit of pain.
Hang on. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh!
Wow!
Grant's really getting whipped now. Whoa!
Thank you, Mistress.
Thank you, Mistress. So is there... you're supposed to be
thank you, Mistress.
You?
Say thank you.
Well,
thank
you. I like a slave to sort of, say
slave.
Thank you. Sometimes you'll be counting, so you might count the next six for me, yes?
Okay, yep.
So one thank you, Mistress.
Okay, one thank you, Mistress.
When I do it. And then two thank you, Mistress.
Go.
Right, here we go.
Can we get you guys...
One thank you, Mistress.
Can we get you guys to stop? Grant, can you come and just thank the mistress in the microphone because we're a radio show. Okay. So just spin around.
The volume's actually okay.
Is it okay? All right.
Okay, all right,
here we go.
All right,
ready?
Here we go.
We're up to one.
Okay, start that again.
Oh, great.
Yeah, okay.
Go, give it some.
Here we go. Let's give it to you.
Oh, one thank you, Mistress. Ah, oh, two thank you, Mistress.
No acting here.
Ah, three thank you, Mistress.
I didn't need
thank you, Mistress.
I didn't need thank you, Mistress.
I feel quite powerful hitting him.
How was that you? Amelia!
Keep doing that. That's amazing.
That's enough.
Why is there so many people?
Can everyone know there is 50, legitimately 50 people who work at Today FM standing around
the studio
now?
What level of pressure is that like for like a normal client? So, is that like 50%, 100%?
Oh, can you? Would you be willing to do one at 100? One at 100%. That's so. This is Mistress Imperia giving you 100%. Are you willing?
One.
Okay.
One at 100.
Now, don't hold back.
Put your head down.
What do you want? Oh, can you come? Well, she's whipping. We can pick it up. Are we picking up? Yeah. Okay.
We're hearing it.
Okay.
Right, so you're ready. You're going to get one full-blooded stroke.
Okay. please don't say blood. Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm really nervous for you. 100%.
Keep your head there.
Right. You ready?
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Ah!
Oh!
Oh
my
gosh.
He's falling over. He's under the desk. He is under the desk. I didn't hear thank you. I didn't hear a thank you for the mistress.
Thank you, Mistress. You might need another one.
Thank you, Mistress. Thank you, Mistress. Thank you, Mistress.
Mistress Imperia, if people would like to have a go at you, that's not the right
term. How long could it go on for? Like, how long would someone have you for?
Okay, so up to
On the mic, get her on the mic, yeah. You come around here.
Okay, so my sessions sort of last, they can be 1 hour through to 13 hours.
13 hours?
What?
Of whipping?
It can be 13 hours of anything, really. So I do a whole, you know, array of things within that time, perhaps, you know, bondage and, you know, often torture.
It's like a journey.
Some people, I've got someone who enjoys being put in into a coffin and stayed there for the entire 15 hours.
And then they paid you for that?
Yeah.
No interaction?
Very little. I would.
What did you do during the time? Your taxes, cup of tea?
Well, sort of, yeah. I just, yes.
Just walk around.
I've got to sort of stay there and keep an eye on them, because you would think it would be quite boring, but they go through such a range of emotions in that time, from I think I'm done here, and I'm sort of like have to push them and say and make the call, are you seriously distressed or, you know.
I love that.
Yeah. I have to make the call, no, you're fine, you know.
Stay in your coffin.
Yeah. I've got a headache. Here's some Panadol. You're fine, you know.
So what's erotic about like being isolated and in the dark?
So I suppose it's like I think the heavy bondage side of things is it's an ultimate escape.
Mm.
You're forced to just be.
In the moment.
Yeah.
I love that. Everyone's surfing.
And often
for that.
The senses are taken away by hoods, blindfolds, they're gagged, and you're just forced to be. It's almost like a meditative state.
I feel the same way when I play Angry Birds.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and whipping Grant Daniel, who I feel like maybe looking you up. I think you might. Chezzy, you might be in for a whole new, Chezzy Daniel, in for a whole new experience. How do people find you if they'd like to experience you?
Sure. So my website is mistressimperia.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook too. Just sort of, I think my Twitter is Domina Imperia.
Amazing.
You can see what I get up to I'd daily to. On there.
One final man. Question.
Oh, you're fascinated, aren't you, little man?
Your family, do they know what you do?
Yes.
Are they cool?
Yes. So,
why wouldn't they be?
Totally.
You know, my mum, she knows what I do, has done right from the start. And when I told her about the apprenticeship, she said, I'm not surprised. You're always a strange child, spanking your dolls and friends and sort of rolling boys up in the lounge room rug and being like, you'll stay there, you know.
That's wow. Sort of
there you go.
Mistress Imperia, thank you for being so open with us.
No worries.
Danya, well done. And,
yep, good job, mate. Good job.
Thank you.
There she is, Dominatrix Mistress Imperia. Now, if you'd like to hear the full chat, it will be up, you can see it at todayfm.com.au and part of it on the podcast. But also, if you go to our socials, you'll be able to see the vision of something that took place after the interview.
Yeah, Gran asked to be whipped by Mistress Imperia, and she whipped Grant Daniel. So if you want to see a 6-foot-tall, amazing, strapping dominatrix whipping TV's Grant Daniel.
And she didn't hold back either, just quietly. We kicked off at 10%, and then we ramped it to 50%, and then it got to 100%.
Why don't we hear some audio now? Yeah, let's hear a little bit now.
Oh, one, thank you, mistress. Ah, oh, two, thank you, mistress. Ah, oh, three, thank you, mistress. Oh.
Sounds like a kinky version of Sesame Street.
Oh, thank you, mistress. Oh, thank you, mistress.
You can see all of that there. Imagine what he'd do for a gold Logie. I mean, that was for nothing. So, Grant, you've just been on a big trip in America, but you've had some trouble at an airport.
The one thing you learn about traveling in America is they take security airports very, very seriously. Oh, yeah. Obviously, the queues are long. The things that they put you through are quite intense, and you don't want to make that mistake of getting it wrong. Unfortunately, I did make the mistake. You know, when you're supposed to get out your laptops, your phones, your metal bits, your belts, you've got to take your shoes off in an American airport and put them through as well, just in case you've got a bomb hiding in the heel. Yes. So it's pretty hardcore. So I've walked into one of those scanning machines, you know, that whizzes around you and sort of the body scanner that scans your body, but also takes, I think, a little bit of scent of the air to see if there's any like bomb chemicals sort of
dropping
off. Yeah, it does. It's got a little vacuum thing in there that sort of sees if there's any residue flying in the air. I forgot to declare I still had something on my person. So I'm in there and this woman comes running at me, goes, "What's in your pocket? What's in your pocket, sir?" I said, "It's nothing. I don't have anything in my pocket." She goes, "Yes, you do. You're packing. And I'm going, what is happening here?
Is this the start of a pornography?
No. I realized I was carrying a very offensive weapon in my pocket, a chapstick. So I'd left the chapstick in my pocket. She's seen it. She's run at me going, "Why are you lying? Why are you lying? Why'd you lie to me, sir?" And I didn't know what to do. So security's like running at me. I've now got five or six people standing around me thinking I've started some sort of international incident when really I've just got this little chapstick in my pocket that I didn't realise and I hadn't put down. So they're gloving up. They're gloving up, getting ready to pull me aside.
I'm offended by a 39-year-old man having a chapstick,
yeah,
to be honest.
Sort of
hey, I'd been in the snow. There'd been a lot of high wind. My upper lip was a little chafed, and I was worrying if I smiled too hard, it would split open, okay?
I don't trust men with chapsticks. I'm not going to lie. Bootleg jean, a chapstick. I'm sorry. You're
sus,
right up there
it?
In my sus list. I'd
right.
have put you on a watch list as well,
that
quite honestly.
It might have been the leather vest with the tassels on it that might have given me away as trouble.
I don't have any problem with that, just the chapstick.
They went hardcore on me for a chapstick.
Yeah, this that those American airlines, like the airports in America, are that's their go. They're either completely disinterested, those people at the TSA, or it's like that.
Oh, I'm completely compliant. We're in LA, and I was lined up, and a guy before me didn't want to go in this body scanner thing, he was arguing.
Nah.
And they're like, "You need to take your belt off, sir." Yeah. And he's like, "No, if I take my belt off, my pants will fall down."
Oh, you
and
can't
I'm
argue.
Like, I'm standing behind him going, "Sup?" Arguing,
I know,
with the LA with Los Angeles, the most hardcore airport.
Exactly,
because you're committing a federal crime if you don't.
I'll do whatever
obey
you want.
Them.
I will bend over. I will cough. I will bark like a dog. I will bounce on one leg.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, that's where the chapstick came out of. When
there it is. So, has anybody else been pulled over at airport security anywhere in the world?
Why'd security pull you out?
Yeah, why did security pull
airport.
You up?
At
an airport. Did you have anything on you that you thought
you
was
forget?
Completely legit? Because I was also stuck with I had a dream catcher, which I bought back from my girls, which was made by the Navajo Indians, and forgot that I had that on me when I came through Australian customs.
What are you? And are you not allowed to bring a dream catcher in?
No, the dog stopped next to me, and then they pulled me aside, and then I realised, I forgot to sign on the form that I've got some bird products on me.
Feathers
on the dream catcher. So I committed two international crimes.
All right. Why did you get pulled up at an airport? What did you have? What was it?
Yeah.
Maybe
you just forgot, and then security scanned you, and then it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
131060. Why did you get pulled up at an airport? 131060. Why were you pulled out? At the airport security. Grant, you've had two incidents.
Mm-hmm.
Very manly items, can I point out, that you were pulled across for? chapstick?
Yeah, brought down by the TSA in America for concealing a chapstick on my person, as they called it.
And
then carrying a dream catcher into Australia for my two beautiful girls.
Sure.
I got them one each, made by the Navajo Indians. It was the real deal. But I forgot it's got some bird products on it. It's got bird feathers.
Yeah.
So it catches the dreams.
Yeah.
It's true. Natalie from Concord. What?
No, the leather bit catches the dreams.
Oh, does it?
And the feathers filter them.
You're right. The feathers store the good ones and the bad ones are caught in the webbing of the dream catcher.
And which one, when you've got it in your house, denotes that you are a single person and will never find anyone?
I dare you.
Well, that's
Natalie from Concord, what happened?
I was caught with a bullet in my handbag.
Okay, that's hectic. That's a hectic thing to pop in your bag at the start of the day, Joel. Why did you have a bullet in your handbag?
My brother, who was 21 at the time, he likes to go hunting, thought it would be funny to give my 7-year-old a bullet just to display in his bedroom or something as a novelty. I found out, grabbed it off him, obviously pretty annoyed, threw it in my handbag and forgot about it.
Did that get their attention?
Where were you?
I was at Sydney Airport on my way to Melbourne with the kids, husband, everybody, and they stopped me as I was going through and said, "Oh, you've just got something here. It looks like it might be a key ring." And straight away, it clicked and I knew.
And what did they do? How long did you have to explain yourself?
I told them the story. They called the federal police and they said, took my license and everything and said, we're just going to go and check it out. And they came back and said, look, we're going to let you off with a warning. You know, your story sounds legit. Jeez. And I said, they said, it's like being pulled over for speeding and just getting off with a warning. And I said, well, I've never been pulled over for speeding. And they said, we know. We can't find anything when we look you up.
So,
we've looked.
Well, there you go. All right. Don't take a bullet to the airport. There's one. Thank you, Natalie.
Wow. Kirsten in Kingsford. Hello.
Hello.
What'd you get? What happened?
Well, I was going through security and they thought my bag looked a little suspicious, so they ran it through a couple of times and I was there for like 20 minutes until they finally let me go through my bag and show them what I had in my pencil case. I had whiteboard markers that looked like, I don't know, looked like a knife or something, but they were so suspicious about my whiteboard markers they wouldn't let me go.
Wow. Jordy, you just said, hey, just bring me a whiteboard over here and I'll just show you what they do.
Exactly.
What airport was it?
That's Sydney Airport.
They're diligent.
Okay, they're doing their job.
Yep, two things. Bullets, right. Whiteboard markers. Okay. This is good. For people that travel, this is good.
I probably would have put the whiteboard markers first.
Whiteboard markers?
Yeah.
Mm. Then bullet?
Yeah, maybe even bullet last.
Have you ever gone through, like, with your toiletries bag and your electric toothbrush goes off? That sounds really suspicious when it's going through the radar system. You know, why? Your little bag's rattling away going.
Why?
What else would it be?
Why? Why?
Could be like misconstrued to be something else.
Why?
Stop pushing the point. You know what I mean.
Nah.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Kim and Penrith, hello. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
What'd you get stopped for? What happened?
It wasn't actually me. It was my mum. We were travelling from Sydney to Brisbane to visit my granddad in his last days. And my dad was a police officer at the time, and the bag that my mum was using for carry-on luggage used to be a bag that he used to take to court with evidence in it. and basically, it set the dogs off straight away, the drug sniffer dogs, because there was drug residue in the bottom of her bag from when my dad was taking it to court.
Oh, it would have had all the drugs every time. The dog would have been like, what the hell?
Bit of everything.
So what happened?
How did you explain that?
Yeah, how'd you get out of it?
Well, I'm not too sure exactly what happened. They did sort of take her away and do a bit of an interview. But in the meantime, I was standing there, you know, heavily pregnant myself with my son, and that did not go down very well either. So,
so what have we learned?
No drugs?
No loaned bags that have had drugs in them.
No evidence bags from court cases in the 70s.
Yes.
No
where cops
bullets.
Would just take it flat out in their bag. And also, if dad's a cop in the 70s, Kim, and he said it was an evidence bag.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's code.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant, and Ned by downloading the Today FM app.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye, when you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic, that's entertainment.
Well, rumors are running rife that Channel 10 have picked Nick Honey Badger Cummins as the next Bachelor. Now, I am not all that familiar with the Honey Badger's work, but I do know he gave himself the nickname, which is amazing.
Ooh.
I mean, I tried to start one for
6 years.
Is that
how it started?
Yeah. He was watching a documentary and he said he saw a honey badger go toe-to-toe with a male lion. And the honey badger was the underdog, took off the canasters of the lion, I believe that's balls,
no.
And got back up and he thought, what an animal, that's bloody impressive, I'm
that's
a honey
me.
Badger. So apparently I've been told he's a very big fan of Aussie idioms. Mm-hmm. Let's have a listen.
When the start of this season turns up, the boys will be going off like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, mate, oh, buddy, I was like a rat up a drain pipe, one of them runs there, sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage actually when he got up after scoring that try. It's one of them things, mate, you can't really count your chickens before they hatch.
Oh, but I've gone up and over and bloody head over biscuit.
Okay.
So former Wallaby, played a couple of games for the Wallabies, played for the Western Force. Yeah. He was a winger.
He's very attractive. Well, he's got a lovely six-pack. He's got I'm guessing he's like the male Soph.
Pretty
Monk.
Much.
Like, he's got
a good sense of fun
funny.
About him. Yeah. And yeah. I think that once you have someone, I would imagine, like Sophie Monk in your series, you're kind of then committed to then only find people that people already know. Like, you're sort of committed to the celebrity formula now that Sophie blazed that trail.
Well, I'd watch this guy on telly. He seems harmless enough.
Yeah, he's harmless enough.
Chloe, what do you think of Honey Badger?
I'll be interested to see whether he can speak in not a soundbite that a joke that he got from a pub 40 years ago. It's hard to say.
I just wish you would just say what you really felt, you know?
I love this woman like a frog in a sock. No, Badger, we're going to have to go again, mate. You can't keep doing the sock one.
Khloe Kardashian has had a baby shower, and it was ridiculous and over the top, as you can well imagine. There were hundreds of pink balloons and a life-size elephant made out of grass, which is what you want in life. Yeah, it was unbelievable. The photos are all over our Instagram.
Okay.
It is so ridiculous. It is ihavetoomuchmoney.com.
Yep, it is.
And Meghan Markle got kidnapped.
What?
by the SAS as a trial, just so she knew what she could expect once she marries Prince Harry. So you can expect you can expect to have to go to lots of boring events. You can expect to have to wear gloves a lot now. And also maybe a terrorist attack on your person. So, yeah, they have had a mock kidnap SAS exercise that included live gunfire as part of her preparation for becoming a member of the royal family.
Oh, I thought this kidnap was perpetrated by the members of her family that weren't invited.
I wouldn't put it past them, I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
She said it was physical and psychologically grueling. And Princess Di had to go through the same thing as well. It's just the thing that all the princesses, Kate did it. What a fun way to be welcomed into a family. It's very Australian. Ha ha ha, let's play a joke. Let's kidnap the bride. So it's like to be part of our family.
Did Camilla do it?
No, I don't think they care as much if she gets kidnapped. Meghan Markle got shown how to call 999. I think that's what Meghan Markle also, the wedding dress. Now, we're being told Australian-born couple, don't live here, haven't lived here their whole lives, but we'll claim them.
Turn their back.
Tamara Ralph and Michael Russo are going to be designing the dress that has been estimated to cost $700,000.
Em, how does a dress cost?
I don't know.
Em,
I don't
what is it. On that dress?
They must have sewn. It's all thinking. Sewn in diamonds, made of albino baby skill sin sauce from Narnia. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand how you would get on tiny body.
Yeah.
How you could possibly, unless it was stitched with money.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but that's what they're saying. $700,000.
Is it kidnap proof?
Maybe it's bulletproof.
Maybe that's the ransom. It's,
oh, I see what you mean. Give us dress
on the dress.
Okay.
Okay.
That's entertainment.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
At 8:12, it is time to try and give away some money. Our official game show host has returned. Grant Daniel, who have you got for us today?
Kim from Blaxland, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right, we're about to play for some money right now. So what are you going to put it towards? If we can do well, if we can get the maximum amount, what's it for?
Bathroom renovation. It's absolutely fallen apart.
Oh, no. Are you sort of partway through it?
Isn't it, Kimmy?
No. It's the original bathroom and it's just hanging on by thread. Tiles are falling off.
Yeah, I didn't realise. I've been looking into getting my bathrooms done. God, it's not like it used to be in the 80s.
No, it's full on now. What kind of tap? Have you picked your taps?
Kimmy, have you...
No. We have to get the money first.
Yeah. Good plan.
Get to it, Grant.
Good plan. Righto, you got 30 seconds to answer the 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter A, and for each question you get right. A for apple. For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with a chance to win up for 10 grand. 10 grand would make a pretty sweet bathroom, so let's see if we can do it.
Well, it would be halfway there, yep.
We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. Are you ready, Kim?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Name a skincare brand.
Arborn.
A biscuit.
Armit.
A European country.
Austria.
A music group.
ABBA.
A clothing brand.
Adidas.
A sauce.
Apple.
An animal.
An ape.
A video game.
Oh, so close. Video game.
You were so precise. You took a little bit of time with your answers, but they're all bang on. How much money we got for you now?
I've played categories since I was young.
$700.
Yeah.
$700. Woo, exciting.
Nice work,
Thank
Kim.
No worries.
Wow.
Yeah, good idea.
Might get you a nice special shower screen or something, or one of those fancy shower heads.
I'll get a fancy tap.
Just one tap. I love that.
Thank you, Kim.
A diamond tap.
No. Don't touch the good tap, kids.
Let's do this.
Am I being unreasonable?
This is amazing. This is actually, this is brave. Come on.
Am I being unreasonable? My wife has a friend who, and I'm going to have to sort of dance around this because they might be listening. I don't care. My wife has a friend.
Okay, by saying what you're about to say, I'm going to give you the opportunity. You're blowing it. Like, you're doing what you're asking. You're doing it. You're doing the thing you don't know if you should do.
I think I've got a way around it.
No, there's no way around this.
My wife has a friend who has an announcement.
No, you have to say what it is. That's why we moved it to 8 o'clock.
Okay. My wife has a friend, and my wife has a friend.
Mm-hmm. I've got that bit.
Who is, you know, up the, is pregnant.
Okay.
Oh, okay, he said it. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Now I know that because when this friend, now, they don't see each other all the time, but they're still close. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, of course. Low maintenance friendship. Old friends. They're the best
friends. There you go.
Yep.
They're old friends, but they don't see each other all the time.
Don't have to maintain.
The reason I know is because I was in the room when she took the phone call.
Great.
The friend texts and say, can I call you? And so then my wife knew it was serious and had been thinking that there were signs of recent times. Phone call comes through. I hear the shrieking and then I can hear, because speakerphone, et cetera, et cetera. Wife says, oh, Ed's here. I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind. And she's like, oh, no, that's fine. But listen. And then the last thing her friend says before she hangs up is, oh, but hang on. You have to keep it to yourself. We're not saying anything yet.
Fine.
And I was like, yeah, no worries.
Of course,
that's,
you know.
That's standard protocol.
Yeah.
Okay. The next thing I hear, this friend lives away.
Yeah.
But they're coming to town
with
the husband.
Now we're getting niche.
Who I know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Who I know. Not well, but I know him.
Okay.
You know, I know him because they're friends. So we have to have dinner and talk about things awkwardly. Okay, so.
Such a unit.
Obviously, you value this friendship.
Ed doesn't have friends.
I do have friends.
He has people he works with.
Don't be like that. That's a different topic. So.
So, you mean I haven't made it into the friend zone yet?
No, you're not a friend. Keep going. Come on.
Listen. Am I being unreasonable? What I'm being asked to do is that this couple is coming over. We're going to have to go and meet them. And I've been told that I have to act surprised when the friend now officially tells, with the husband present, that they are pregnant.
Okay, because the husband doesn't know that you know.
The husband doesn't know I know. So I'm meant to pretend that I don't know so that the husband feels okay about it.
And you've refused to pretend.
Well, I'm being me. So... And so you be Tiff just very, very quickly and ask me to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Dole, he doesn't know that we know.
Yep.
So when she announces it at dinner, can you just pretend like we don't know?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Ed, you have to play along.
No.
This isn't your news.
What am I acting for?
You have
this
to act.
This is ridiculous.
You're being unreasonable because this isn't your news. If it was your news, you dictate how and when it gets received. But this is someone else's news.
It's not that hard for you to look surprised. Just raise that one eyebrow like always do.
You're the master
of surprise.
But I just think, if you weren't supposed to know and you found out, I don't think it's too much to do to ask you to act for 10 seconds.
But then we're always going to have to act.
Not anymore, mate. Do you want me to explain to you how radio works? Do you want me to explain to you?
Because
you've now rid yourself of your wife. Does Tiff know we're doing this?
She hasn't texted yet.
I think this is a common theme, right? And I think because girls often share information before boys do, and the girl then feels bad because the man's not in the position where he's got to break the news. Everyone's got to do this dance.
I don't have to act to this. Yes, I've been on a number of
popular
miniseries.
Shocking miniseries.
Thank God you're here.
Oh,
wonderful
my God.
Actor.
No, that's good. But God, that Mick Dundee one. Woo! All right. Stinger!
Once again, we're off topic. 131060. Am I being unreasonable? I refuse to act surprised about information that I already know. Am I being unreasonable? 131060. Am I being unreasonable?
Yes.
Wife's friend. He's having a baby, found out on the phone. I was there. I heard it. And now there's a dinner planned where the husband is going to be coming along. And I have to now pretend to the husband that I didn't know the news. When they tell us, I have to act surprised. I said, under no circumstance, as soon as they sit down, I'm going to say, I know. Let's move on with our lives.
Why don't you at least let them announce it before saying, or couldn't you just say something like, I had a feeling. And then if the guy says,
good.
How? Then you can say, I knew. You know what I mean? Like, gentle. Don't
just
sit
let
down.
Let them have that moment, though.
It's
and
not
then
a real
you can
moment.
Be the party
it's
pooper.
A fake moment.
It's a real moment for him.
No, it's not.
Well, it's
not
now. You've put it on bloody radio. You know how this thing works? There's a podcast, and then anyone in Australia, it doesn't matter if they don't live in Sydney. You didn't think that through, did you? You did.
You know,
he sabotaged it. No, he wanted it this way, so he doesn't have to act.
Let the magic happen, man.
Susan. Am I being unreasonable?
Stop you acting really badly
of
in that end questions
you are.
For Ben.
I was kidding that. Why am I being unreasonable, Susan?
Because there's a partner code and you have to rock that performance.
Yes.
Susan.
Partner code.
You do. You do.
But how long do I have to... But it's so ridiculous. I already know.
No, you have to rock that performance until everyone is that shocked and surprised and excited, and then you get to bank that performance because the shoe could be on the other foot with your partner and, you know... She might have to do a performance down the track.
Oh, do you know how many times she's had to pretend that something Ed's done is interesting? Oh, my God. Have you seen the Crocodile Dundee situation? Oh, my God.
She's performing a lot.
Susan.
Have you heard our intro for Old Man Ed as a boring story of everything? Imagine being his wife.
That needs to change, I reckon.
That's the best thing
intro
I've ever heard, honey.
It's genuinely interesting.
She has to perform every day.
You've got a great singing
voice.
He's
showing all his teeth when he's smiling now, so I know I'm in trouble.
Michelle.
More of a snarl.
Michelle.
Yes, hi.
Am I being unreasonable?
No, not at all.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Why is that?
Because, well, really, we're not at school. If she didn't want anyone to know because he didn't want anyone to know, she shouldn't have said anything.
Michelle.
And I don't think we should be playing these games. Don't say anything. It's a secret. She shouldn't have said anything.
It's not a secret.
Especially if she was planning on coming down anyway and was going to tell you, she could have just waited.
That's so true.
I just feel like any other secret, yes, but not Bebe.
No,
the Bebe's
not that one.
Special.
It wasn't her fault that you were on speakerphone.
Yeah, you heard it. You forced yourself into that convo.
I did not. She called me in. Do you think I'd give... Do you think I care?
So you're saying it's Tiff's fault.
No, do you think I care? When Tiff's talking to her friends,
it's Tiff's fault.
I leave the room / house because I don't care what they talk about.
Oh, women's business, yeah. Oh.
Well, you know.
Glitter, makeup, vaginas, oh.
Babies.
God, babies.
Jerry.
Yes.
Glenmore Park.
Absolutely unreasonable.
Oh, Jerry.
Yes.
Why would you say that?
Such a similar situation. I told my brother I was pregnant before telling my husband. And we went to, when we actually told everybody, we're like, oh, we'll FaceTime the family. We'll let everyone know over FaceTime because we live away from them all. And my brother didn't look excited at all. He didn't even react. He was not surprised, excited, anything. He was just so blasé about it. My partner wanted to fight him. He was like, why is he not happy for us?
Jerry, here's a perfect chance to ask. Why tell your family before you tell the father of the child?
Well, I'd been told, we're really close and we were away for the weekend and I'd been feeling really, really sick. And so he was there when I actually took the pregnancy test.
Brother?
I've had the same thing happen. Yeah, they were away together. The same thing as it happens. And also, there's something, you only get to share that you're pregnant as a woman a couple of times in your life.
Sure, okay.
And there's something really special about watching the other person. I get addicted to that, the light up, the eyes light up.
Okay.
Because it's such big news.
Yep.
And it's addictive watching someone get that good news.
Yeah, right, let your eyes light up, man. Come on.
He's dead on the inside, he can't.
Yeah.
75% think I'm being unreasonable. 25% believe I'm being reasonable. That's a good result for me. The tickets today.
To be honest, that is actually more than he was expecting.
I've done pretty well here. Jerry from Glenmore Park, you're going to see Pink. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Pink's Beautiful Trauma World Tour, Kudos Bank Arena, August 3rd to 12th. There are limited tickets available from Ticket Tech, but you are going along just for being you, Jerry.
Thank you for being unreasonable.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah. Married at First Sight, of course. Grant, you've been away.
Oh, is this still going?
Yes.
Because I was riding across a cliff at one point on this snow bike, overlooking these mountains at 6,000 feet, just wondering what Dean was up to.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. God, good segue, Joel. We did find out last night, of course, you know, the fate of the couples, and we found out this about Dean and Tracy.
Well, I don't think it's a big surprise to anyone, but I'm saying stay.
And for you, Tracy?
I'm hoping that Dean is learning from this, but definitely the trust is being rebuilt for sure.
She didn't take much, did it?
What? She's staying?
She's staying. And, of course, why wouldn't she? Because, as you recall, he is a lyrical genius.
Hey, yo, Tracy, my little lady, you drive me crazy. After last week on the couch, yo, I know you probably hate me, but you gave me your shot. You're so hot, plus your brain is next level.
Joining us on the phone now, we do have... Dean from Married at First Sight.
Yo. Hey, yo, Tracy.
Hi, Dean.
What hey, up, Dean. Y'all? Sorry, yo. Just got back in. 39 years old. Just got back in from a mad shred on my two skateboards with some of my homies. probably going to do some studio time today. Hey, yo, Tracy. Like, I actually can't Dean actually can't stop himself. He's always rapping to this and that.
What do you mean always rapping? So if we threw a word at you, you could do anything?
Yeah, freestyler. When I'm 39 years old and when I'm down at the skate park, just pushing 14-year-olds out of the way, sometimes someone will yell out, hey, yo, Dean, and I'm like, what up? And I'll just throw a word at me and I'll start rapping. So just throw any word and I'll do a rap.
Okay, I got one for you. What about hit me with boat?
What up? Love is like a boat. I love you to port. I love you to starboard. I love you so much you can ride one of my two skateboards, Dean.
Okay, great. What about turkey?
What up? Turkey is a meet and greet. Dean is my name and rapping is my game. Some people say I'm bad. Some people say I'm good. But I'm in my late 30s and own two skateboards. So that's bad. Really bad.
Dean.
Really, really bad. I'm 39. I own two skateboards and a guitar. And nobody wants me. So I had to go on this awful show and show everyone just how awful I truly am.
Okay.
So when will this show end so that we can get back to our lives and stop watching these losers full of chick killers and the worst part of 50 years old.
Bye-bye, Dean.
Before we go on a Monday now, we're going to start doing footy tipping because Em's got a piece of paper there. Em, you started your footy tipping career last week on...
Strong.
Very strong.
I started strong.
What'd you get?
Because I tipped Dragons to beat Broncos. Mm. But unfortunately, the person running the tipping here did not put my tip in. And so I didn't get that one. But I got five right.
I'm calling it six.
I got six out of eight. And so I'm ranked 40,000th out of 240,000.
That's a good result.
Yeah. And a majority of people in the tipping competition got 3.6 right. So with six, mm-hmm. I'm pretty good.
Did you pick the Hunter Mariners?
That's not a thing.
Yeah, good one.
I tipped the Knights. I tipped the Cowboys. I tipped the Tigers.
That was a good one.
And you all laughed at me. And I'm like, no, I've just got a feeling in my words about the Tigers. Mm-hmm. Everyone's sick of the Roosters. The Roosters are a little bit inflated. The Roosters didn't take the Tigers seriously. The Roosters like, oh, we got the Tigers. We're just going to sit back and not try. And the Tigers went, we know this. The Tigers went all out, man. They killed 10-8. It was so good. I did tip the Rabbitohs just out of loyalty because they're my team.
You can't do that.
The Rabbits?
Yeah, you can't. You've got to take emotion out of it, Em. Yeah.
Bulldogs over Storm. No, Storm over Bulldogs. Oh, yeah. I know the Storm wins everything. Even I know that.
It's a gimme.
And the Panthers over the Eels. And I lost just narrowly. I did tip the Titans. No, Raiders. Titans.
The Raiders.
Won. Yeah. That was only 2 points, though. So. I'm good. I am going to be doing this every Monday. So if you want to take me on, just do it and listen and just compare your own life.
We'll start having people to take you on. Like more increasingly sort of football knowledgeable people. Because I think
Do you think any NRL players listen to us?
Yeah.
If any of
Fooey Fooey Moi Moi will be calling in.
Who's
any
the
moment.
One I like? No, who's the guy? You know who I love? You know who my favourite player is?
Dean Lance, if you're listening.
Who's the one? I don't know who that is. Ed's laughing at his own jokes. I don't know why.
Steve Walters, Boxhead, if you're streaming us.
I don't know who that is.
Dean Pay, if you're listening.
Mal Meninga?
He's coaching. Smell
my finger, Mal Meninga.
Oh, hang on a second.
Why do people say that?
We need to get out of here.
No way. You know who my favourite is? The guy who gave up rugby for love. He left the Storm, career player, and then came Chance Champ. He's got a really cool name, like a superhero.
Chance the Rapper?
No. He played for the Melbourne Storm his whole career, and then his fiancée.
Cooper Cronk.
Oh,
I love
Cooper
Cronk
him.
Too. Place for the Roosters. I love Cooper Cronk.
I love you, Cronky. If you want to come on, Cronky, you're welcome.
All right, Cronky.
Good on you, Cronky.
You heard it here first.
Okay, thanks. See you guys tomorrow.
What about Brad Clyde? Is he allowed on?
Are you making jokes that are going above my head? Say someone I'll know. Who played with Mal Meninga? Who else?
Darren Lockyer.
Laurie Daly.
Keep going.
Ricky Stewart.
Keep going.
Andrew Ettinghausen.
Glenn Lazarus.
E.T. Yeah. He got grumpy because someone took nudes of him.
Let's get out of here.
I remember him. It's cloudy.